Summer concert season is almost upon us, and if you're heading out to a country show, it'll be all about the boots. With seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience quite like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Today on the Zabecast, Super Bowl stories. Ever had that dream where you show up to the airport in your underwear? We've got Bob and Brian on board today. We'll talk humanzies and other animals that would be badass sports team nicknames, Super Bowl party prototypes, Hillary Clinton's runner-up prize for the election, a guacamole for $36. Get out of here. You got about an hour to kill, then buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
It is absurd to think that one Nick Foles could wind up beating Tom Brady in Minneapolis on Super Sunday in superb owl L-I-I. But it could happen, and that's what makes football, in part, so awesome. Anything can happen. Welcome to the Zabecast for Wednesday, January 31st. I am Steve Zabin. I host a show in Washington, D.C. from 4 to 7 p.m. in the afternoons on ESPN 980 Radio. Thank you for finding this little podcast, and I thank you for your time and your ears and for putting up with about an hour of bonus unique content that I will try, as always, to do my best to embargo from all the other platforms, whether it's ESPN 980 show or whether it's Bob and Brian on 102.9 The Hog. We'll try to keep this stuff here, stuff that I haven't done anywhere else. But back to the Foles thing versus Brady. He could win the game. There's no question about it. Yes, the quarterback is the most important player on a football team at any level of football. He touches the ball the most on offense, the most difficult position to play. The NFL, the quarterback haves and the quarterback have-nots are the most exacerbated, are the most dramatic when it comes to, well, you don't have a quarterback, so I don't know why you're playing the season. Have fun, though. Have fun playing the season. I mean, there's some teams this past year that they went into the season and everyone knew, yeah, you have fun playing the season because you're not going to do shit. We know that for a fact. Well, wait, our linebackers are pretty good. And our what? No, you don't have a quarterback. The Jets, the Browns, the Niners, they all went into the season saying, no chance. But here's the case of Nick Foles, who had the Eagles gone into the season with Nick Foles and played the entire year with Nick Foles, then I think it's reasonable to say they most almost certainly likely would have been fucked. They would not have amassed the record they did. They would not have secured home field advantage, and they would not be having the kind of season they are. But he didn't have to play all year. He just had to play at the end. And he had two short games at home. They escaped the Falcons. They overwhelmed the Vikings. And now here he is on the biggest of stages. I'm trying to squint my eyes hard enough to see the confetti falling down around Nick Foles' head and thinking, what would this mean to him? What would this be as a life-changing experience? I'm also trying to think, well, wait a minute. Would he be the worst quarterback to win the Super Bowl? And I think the answer is probably. Really worse than Trent Dilfer, who won it really through no work of his own with the Baltimore Ravens. That year they were off the charts defensively. Yeah, I would say arguably worse because I don't think Foles was drafted as high as Trent Dilfer. What does draft status have to do with it? Well, nothing in theory. I'm just trying to rate who was the better quarterback, quarterback prospect, pure talent, etc., etc. Jeff Hostetler won one with the New York Giants. The New York football Giants against the Bills. That was the Norwood Super Bowl.
All hail the New York Giants.
All hail the New York Giants. Hostetler would be amongst that category of worst quarterbacks to have won the Super Bowl. Jim McMahon was not a good quarterback. Yes, he was the punky QB we call McMahon, but he was not a great quarterback that won it. Brad Johnson was just okay with Tampa Bay. So it has happened before, and it will happen again, and that's the beauty of football. It could possibly happen that Nick Foles, a journeyman backup, could win the Super Bowl. Here's the other thing that I just thought of, and it's an angle I'm sure it's going to be written about if it's not already talked about. Maybe my phrasing of it, though, is slightly different than others. You've got Tom Brady, the quarterback who wants to play forever, versus Nick Foles, the quarterback who almost quit because football was too hard and nobody wanted him. Foles said that after he washed out following the Chip Kelly breakout season, the 27 touchdowns over two INT season with the Chip Kelly-led offense that was turning the league upside down for a short period, and after he got traded to St. Louis, and after enduring a wonderful year of Jeff Fisher and his brilliance as a head coach and an offensive mind, that after that year he was waiting for somebody to come pick him up, somebody to, you know, give him a contract for the following year. And he was out there on the free agent market for a while, and that was the time in which Nick Foles said he really, really thought about, should I still be doing this? Should I quit? What's going on? He said he asked God for a sign. He said, please, just write it on a wall or something. I want to know. Andy Reid picked him up in Kansas City, and that's where his career got resurrected. And then he landed in Philadelphia, where he was fine. He was great. He was great. Long as you didn't have to play him, actually. I love that line about backup quarterbacks. I think Tom Lavero gave that to us on the Sports Reporters one day, me and Andy. Something about some backup. He's like, oh, no, he's great as long as you have to play him. But wait, he's the backup. He might actually have to play. Oh, no, I know that. I'm just saying he's a great backup. Oh, okay, so you're agreeing that he's good unless you have to play him. Oh, well, why is he a good backup? Sort of a self-negating type of line, almost like the Groucho Marx line about, I wouldn't join any country club that would have me as one of their members. It's one that you got to think about. So we've got in the quarterbacks the man who would play forever versus the guy who almost quit because football was too hard and nobody wanted him. Interesting. Or maybe not. Maybe not. We'll see. My goal is for Thursday, tomorrow's Zabecast, to have some Minnesota fresh audio for you as I land in Minnesota on Wednesday and do my show. And hopefully everything works out okay. Flight lands, luggage arrives, get to Radio Row, credentials there, don't freeze. I find somebody interesting or a few people interesting, and I pull them aside and I smash my microphone in front of them for 10 minutes or so, and I get you some fresh Minnesota fresh Radio Row interesting audio for at least the last 2 days of this week. And then I got to figure out how I'm going to do this Zabecast on Monday following the Super Bowl, because my flight leaves at 8 a.m. local time. I won't get out of the stadium till super duper late. You know what? Fuck it. I'll just record it in my hotel room. Question is, how am I going to see the ads? You know what? I got the internet, right? I'll be able to see the ads on the internet. I'll figure out a way. In the meantime, let's go Super Bowl stories, day number three. Day one was Joe Namath's guarantee. Day two was surviving the nightmare before the game. And number three is, yo, where's my helmet? There's a commercial right now for Geico, I believe, in which the intergalactic captain says, don't worry, I got this star battle. All I need is my fighter jet or my, you know, intergalactic fighter. All I need is, where's my keys? Where's the captain's keys, please? Very funny commercial. Very funny concept. This happened once in the Super Bowl if you're not old enough to remember. It wasn't that long ago. In fact, last time this game was held in Minneapolis, my Redskins won their third and final to date Super Bowl trophy by beating the Buffalo Bills and Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas and a whole bunch of really good players and a whole bunch of Hall of Famers in the mix as well. What happened was Thurman Thomas, after the Buffalo Bills had started the game on defense, they forced a three and out punt. Redskins punted away. Bills get the ball, and here they come. They're coming out to try to avenge previous losses. And let's see which one this was. This would be their second go at it. They lost to the Giants the year before on the Norwood Mist 20-19. They had no idea they'd be back two more times and get routed two more times by the Cowboys following this game and then the Cowboys again in Atlanta. So this was their second crack at it, and they force a three and out, and the Buffalo Bills come out on the field on offense. And next thing you know, it's not Thurman Thomas, their Hall of Fame running back. It is Kenneth Davis, their backup tailback, who took the first handoff of the game from Jim Kelly. What was going on? Well, Thurman Thomas lost his helmet. Sometime during the pregame, sometime during the anthem, sometime, who knows how, lost it. The equipment staff was frantically running around looking at helmets. You'd think that they would have clear names on them. You'd think that his face mask would be easy to spot. He had a very basic face mask that was pretty much a four-quadrant face mask, just, you know, a simple single bar across, single bar down the middle. You would have thought, how can you lose a helmet? Like, even if you lose a helmet, how long could it take to find it? Well, they didn't find it that first drive, and the Bills ended punting away the football, and the rest went downhill from there. Thomas got his helmet finally and got in on the second set of downs. He ended up rushing only for 13 yards on 10 attempts. The Redskins jumped out to a quick 24-0 lead early in the third quarter. Jim Kelly had a terrible day, four interceptions, two of them coming deep in Bills territory, and they turned into Redskins touchdowns. He also had two of Buffalo's incredible six fumbles in the game. Six fumbles, four interceptions. Kelly was sacked five times. Listen, the Redskins were a great team that year, 91. It might have been the best Redskin team of all the three Super Bowl teams. It was the only non-strike team that won the Super Bowl for the Redskins. I count all the trophies the same either way. In fact, I think the strike and the lockout year Super Bowls were some of the best, most proud Super Bowls that we have, that our team found a way to get it done despite all the craziness and turmoil of work stoppages those years in 82 and 86 or 82 and 87. Yeah, 82 and 87. It was 83 and 88, I believe the Super Bowls were. Mark Rippon that year had been sacked just 11 times all year. I think 11. Don't quote me on that. Andy will know the number next time I talk to him, but it was an absurd number of times. I mean, Rippon sat back there in the pocket with the Hogs, and it was like sitting in the most comfortable lifeguard chair on the beach on a clear, sunny day. Just looking out, who should I throw to here? So it probably didn't matter that Thurman Thomas had lost his helmet, but it was very symbolic, and it became the stuff of legend that when the big moment came after all the lead-up, all the prep, all the hype to the game, here's their star running back. Where's my helmet? Who lost my helmet?
I like digging holes and hiding things inside them. When I grow old, I hope I won't forget to find them. 'Cause I've got memories and travel like gypsies in the night.
Yeah, all right, Bob and Brian joining me now, as they do every week on the bonus Zabecast, another 20 minutes of us. Hello, chuckleheads. How we doing this week?
You talking to us? Morning, Steven. Good day. You don't want to be time sensitive, so forget about that morning thing. Good morning, Steve.
Steve. Good morning, nondescript podcast listening time. It could be any time that you might be downloading this and listening to it on any time zone. Did you see, Brian, that apparently 100 years ago they crossbred a man with a chimpanzee, and then the lab techs quickly killed it in a panic?
No, I haven't seen this one. No.
How could you not see this? There's a photo of it as well.
Really?
Yes. Going Ape is the story from The Sun in the UK.
Sure, what else would you call it?
Right. Inside the bizarre world of human-chimp hybrids known as Humanzees, as a renowned scientist claims, one was born in a Florida lab before being killed by panicked doctors.
We're talking about like
1920s. This was done in the
1920s.
Quite 100 years ago.
Yeah. Yes, Humanzees.
What were they breeding them for? What was the point? What were they doing?
Just to see what happens.
Okay, I thought maybe
to see
what
for. Gonna have soldiers,
right? I love how when they're like, "Oh my God, it actually was born! Kill it quickly!" Who was given the job of killing it? And with what item would you kill a fetus Humanzee?
We don't even have the right number of chromosomes to line up. There's no crossbreeding.
That's disgusting.
There's no chimp man.
Do you think some woman had
no?
Why not?
Because we have petri dishes for this sort of thing.
It's the '20s.
Because I've watched Johnny Quest. I know how these things work. Well, Dr. Quest.
This is horrifying.
Of course it's horrifying.
Let me introduce you to my chimpanzee.
What if it was a charming date with the chimpanzee?
No.
And it went really, really well.
It's not going to be a charming date. Maybe a mystery date. Do you remember that game? You open the door for your mystery date.
And it's a chimpanzee.
Hey, a monkey.
Well, no. In this case, the woman, it would be a chimp. And she'd shrug her shoulders and go, I've been out with worse guys than this. Date goes well.
Date.
A little bit of wine, a nice steak. Next thing you know,
there was an episode Humanzee. Of Love American Style where Larry Storch was a chimpanzee but became human.
Really?
He kept acting like a chimpanzee.
On the date?
Just in general, yeah. Mm-hmm. I forget. Mm-hmm. Exactly what happened, but he still did like the
scratched his head. One hand.
He acted like a chimp.
All I know is that I need to quickly move in and acquire the ironclad rights to Humanzees as a sports team nickname, and I need to get a Humanzee logo for
you
that.
Think that's
because
a good idea in this day and age with all the
political correctness.
Yeah, what are you going to use for a logo? You're going to depict one of us?
Part chimp,
a Humanzee?
Dude.
I'm offended.
A dude, bro, wearing Hawaiian shirt.
A dude.
The Humanzees will
with
not like this.
Okay. With a tail.
With a tail. Chimps don't have tails. Do they?
You're talking. No, chimps don't have tails.
Right. Monkeys have tails.
And
gorillas just have big asses and huge quads. And then baboons have the red asses. Which no one ever explained to me. Like, why is that thing from sitting around all day? Why do baboons have red asses?
You ever see a monkey war?
No.
Seriously.
A monkey war or a chimp
turf
battle?
War. They'll battle over fig trees.
Oh, yeah, monkeys?
Yeah.
Okay, because I've seen battles, and they're ferocious. They are terrifying.
They will go in. They know what they're doing. They go in, and they flank, and they know where they're coming from, and there's no escape route for the ones that they're attacking to run them out for their fig trees. And then what they'll do is the senior members of the triumphant monkey army that has taken over will eat some of its opponents that it's killed. They'll tear them from limb from limb, and some get absorbed into the new army. Some are just run off, some are eaten.
And then under the new NFL rules, they'll do a coordinated end zone celebration after they've ripped the arms off of their opponents. They'll use the arms as props.
It all breaks down if you shoot up their communications.
Yeah. Well, chimps would make an awesome team nickname, but as you're correct in saying, Brian, there is too much sensitivity around racial epithets hurled around, black people, African Americans being referred to as chimps, monkeys, apes, or whatever, even though you and I know we all came from primates. We all share the same ancestral tree. White, black, brown, yellow, everyone. Right?
Why don't gorillas get used as...
There's one school, it's Pittsburgh State in Kansas,
that are the gorillas.
But it's not used because, again, it runs into that sensitivity area where all it takes is one asshole, one racist asshole, who wants to, you know, make a deal of, let's say there's a black player on the gorillas, and then some fan for the other team creates a poster that has
Patrick
a picture
Ewing
of the guy.
Patrick Ewing had that happen all the time when he was playing at Georgetown.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. In fact, a tennis announcer got fired for saying that Serena Williams was using gorilla tactics at the net when he clearly meant gorilla. As in G-U-E-R. Right.
Like Martin Short tried to differentiate in Captain Ron. Gur, not go. Gur.
Yeah.
Right. And still it wasn't enough that they just said, now the PC mob has spoken, off with your head.
Just use octopus.
There's
a lot of animals that aren't being used. There's no manatees out there. They're not very tough.
Manatees suck, though.
I know.
Manatees are not
but
worthy.
There's plenty of sucky animals being used as mascots.
All right, let me hear.
I'm not too fond of cardinals.
That's a weak one.
It's just
a bird.
It's a timid bird.
Yeah,
you're right.
They're just a little flighty bird.
Yeah.
And if you're the octopuses, what's that going to get shortened to?
The ox.
No.
The puss.
Yeah, you're going to be the puss.
There you go, you puss.
Yeah, right. But you're a puss? I am.
People will print out pictures of sushi and say, we just did this to your team. Even though I don't think you eat octopus and sushi,
it's
right?
Calamari, right?
Or that's squid.
Calamari is squid.
Sorry.
Do we eat octopus? I don't think so. I think we eat squid.
In the U.S.?
Is it a dish? Is octopus a dish?
Yeah. Somewhere it is.
Where have you had it?
I haven't had it, but it's eaten in, like, Japan.
Okay. I've never heard of octopus being eaten. So.
Well, it's not on the menu at McDonald's, so.
Hey, easy now. Someday it will be.
Maybe it will.
Puss Bites, $5.99 for four.
Mick Puss Bites.
Mick Puss Bites, right, exactly. All right, let's switch.
What kind of sauce would you like with that? I'll take the mustard.
I'll take the ink sauce, actually.
Yeah.
I want some of the ink the octopus squirted to escape and just dip it in there. What if octopus ink was the most delicious tasting sauce ever?
Fine, I'm in.
Then we'd breed them.
Yeah, I'm in.
We'd breed them, and then we would put them in these awful contraptions out of the water and make them their octopus ink and put it in giant containers.
But here's the thing about the octopus. Nobody's coming to the rescue. They're
if
not.
What?
They don't have cute. They don't have cute big eyes. They're in a cage.
They do have big eyes. They have the biggest eyes of any critter.
They're
not cute.
Yeah, they got that beak, too, that they crush shells with.
They have a beak in their crotch. A crotch with eight legs. Wow, what a setup.
Yeah. No, octopus is fascinating. But, you know, you got to be in water to defeat anything. And they can be eaten by sharks and other animals. So
They eat sharks, too. Did you ever see that video?
I know. I've seen that.
Where they just lay there, shark passes over, they wrap them up, and they kind of...
Yeah, they eat the pussy sharks.
Oh, Steve.
They don't eat the tough sharks.
Here's the key. If you're attacked by a shark while we're in Jamaica, and we'll be there before long,
I know that. I can't wait. It's amazing.
You got to roll them over.
Oh, and then rub their belly, and they fall asleep.
Get them on their back, and they go into some sort of hypnotic brain overload.
I'm sure I'll be able to do that as I'm searing in pain from having my arm nearly ripped off its socket with blood all over the place. I'll calmly go, okay, you've prepared for this. You know the drill. Roll, pet, and put to sleep.
Wait, you're the guy who got face-to-face with like a 15-foot croc.
Right.
No.
You're not afraid of a crocodile.
I was face-to-tail from about 20 feet away, and you know that's the case. At least 20 feet away.
Famous last words from everybody who's attacked by an animal, Steve.
Boy, he moved quick. Yeah, I was quick. I know that so fast. I didn't think he could do that. I didn't think he could, A, climb a tree, B, swim in water, D, run over this item, or D, jump over the fence, or E, reach his arm through the cage. Whatever action you think an animal can't do, you could be unpleasantly surprised. So watch it.
Assume they can do everything.
All right. Let's change the topic to Super Bowl party types. Are you guys having a Super Bowl party, either one of you, for this game on Sunday?
I have no plans to go anywhere or do anything.
What constitutes a party? What do you mean party?
Before I answer that, let me back up. When was the last time either one of you hosted people on the Super Bowl?
I have never.
Never. Okay. Bob?
I went to a party at Bob's house once.
Yeah.
I think it was a Bills Cowboys.
Boy, that was a while ago. Really? That was the last time you were over for a Super Bowl?
When
really
was it?
That's what I remember.
Next question. When was the last time you guys went to somebody else's place to watch the big game?
I couldn't tell you.
Bob?
I'm 85.
Yeah, my house, right?
Bob's 85. House.
Really?
Probably.
Boy, I'm not a fan of going out for the Super Bowl because it's so late and it's on a Sunday night. And
that's
I got
right.
to get to bed.
That's right.
And I got to be here, you know, on the air the next day. And I got to be sharp. I got to be good. Can't just show up. Got to be sharp.
Plus, the best seat is my couch.
Okay. Yeah. So you guys don't go out. You don't host.
I've done it.
It's been a while. Okay.
That's all. Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, can we all agree that the NFL should really push to go Super Bowl Saturday? So we can all sleep in and watch the highlights and revel in the game on Sunday morning. Wouldn't that be the best?
I'm fine with that. They've played, you know, conference championships on Saturdays, haven't they?
Yes.
I believe
those are on Sunday back to back.
Yeah,
we have Saturday games on the whole weekend.
I believe there's probably once upon a time, Bob, there is a AFC game on Saturday and NFC game on Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe,
right.
Just because they did things differently. They used to give home field advantage on an alternating basis in the division or in the conference.
Are they ready to say Super Bowl Saturday?
No, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
Super Sunday. They don't want to do that. What the league really would want to do, because they do realize the value in having that day off on Monday to get everyone back from the Super Bowl and everything else, is they want to push this all the way to President's Day in the middle of February. They want to expand the season, right? Isn't that the next holiday that comes up in February? Whatever, or is it Martin Luther King Day? Excuse me.
That's January.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Okay. I got a calendar here somewhere. I could probably look this up. They want to get to
Day, think
they want to get to they want to get to mid-Feb so they can play the game on a Sunday night and have Monday off for everyone for the most
part. Why not just have, you know, football day where after the day after the Super Bowl
it's a day off.
It is. It's President's Day, February 19th. This year. February 19th is President's Day.
It's easier just to give you the Monday after the Super Bowl off. Make it a national day off.
Why would your employer want to give you another paid day off?
Exactly.
See, that's the thing. There's nothing in it for them.
Right.
Other than
how are you going to force them?
Yeah.
What are we, France, Brian? Come on. We're a hustling country, man. Got to make a buck.
This country passes federal holidays
all
the time.
If you'd like to use a personal
but some
day.
If it's a federal holiday, you have to recognize it, right?
Yeah.
But remember the whole Martin Luther King Day?
Sure.
Remember the MLK Day controversy with Arizona where they didn't recognize it?
They lost a Super Bowl because of it,
yes,
didn't they? They yanked a Super Bowl out of there, right?
Yeah, and they forgot to reserve the building, too. There was a dance competition, so they lost it because of that. Oh, shit, we should have saved the date. Well, have you going to a Super Bowl party, what are the typical Super Bowl party prototypes you see there? You see the glutton. You see the house inspector. You see the coordinator. You see the gambler, you see the pool guy, you see the guy that knows just enough about the game to be dangerous. You see the let's go home, it's already halftime guy.
That's me.
Is that you?
That's why I don't want to go. I don't want to be classified. I sure don't want to be the glutton, but hey.
Okay.
Who's going to be? The fat guy. That's who.
Everyone's a glutton when they get there because they load up. It's, you know, everybody loads their first plate when you get to that party. It's like, and then you kind of graze after that. You walk back during commercial, you grab a celery
stick.
Are
you a plate loader?
First time.
At any buffet?
The first time because I'm sure I'm not coming back.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? It's like when you're.
How about at a buffet in Vegas? Are you a plate loader there?
Probably. Yeah.
Knowing that the buffet is not going anywhere.
Right.
Knowing that there's really no line. Are you a plate loader?
In Vegas, are they? There's no bottom to any of the real, you know, the steamer little tins.
And there's
right?
you're not
they
up
just
against
keep refilling them.
Well, you're not up against the clock either. It's Vegas. We're
exactly.
open all the time. Well, what
right.
time do you close? We're Vegas. We haven't closed in 17 years.
When somebody comes back with a giant plate of stuff, do you feel obliged to send a zinger in there? Like, you sure got enough?
The ocean called.
Yeah.
They're out
right.
of shrimp.
Hey, it is, you know, you can go back, you know.
Right.
What is this, death row? Got enough to eat there?
Either way, it doesn't look good. If some guy goes back to the buffet 50 times or he comes back with three gigantic plates, it's just not going to go
How
well.
About the meat connoisseur who, no matter what meat you serve, wings, ribs, he'll say how he does it, Bob, better. On his insert expensive grill accessory here, guy.
There's one trick to grilling something and having it good and juicy.
What's that?
Low heat.
Low and slow.
Don't, look, you're doing it. You're the one.
No, it's it. There's no trick.
No,
that's
no,
it.
Look at this is what you're
There's
doing. Because you're the guy who's going to show up and say, I always go low and slow.
Low and
low
slow.
Low and slow.
It takes time. You want it to be good? It's going to take time. You want it to be dry and tough? Sure, turn up the heat. Can make anything in 5 minutes.
How about the expletive?
Throw 18,000 BTUs at that thing.
How about at Super Bowl parties, the expletive blowtorch guy who thinks he's in his own basement screaming out, fuck! What the fuck? You suck shit, you asshole! And everyone's like, hey, we're at a party here,
why are you such a pussy?
Yeah, right. Get up! That's not a knee injury! Fucking suck!
Right?
Dude,
like,
whoa.
My kids are here.
Right.
Dude, my kids are right there.
And that brings us to the other prototype, the babysitter guy, where he brings his kids, even though it was generally frowned upon, and insists they will not be a problem. Oh, don't worry. They got their iPads and their bag. They got their iPads and their bag of goldfish. I'll just put them over here in this other room while we
well,
watch the game.
If the host has kids, then, oh, well, the kids will play.
Depends on the age of the kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But do those kids that
kids,
are brought...
They don't like each other. What if the host kids are assholes or the kids that you brought are assholes? You know, kids can be assholes.
Oh, that's their default setting. It's when they're nice that you wonder, what's wrong with you, man? What's going on here? It's like when that host called Tom Brady's kid a pissant, I would say, oh, you have no idea. Like, I would say, I wouldn't get offended if someone called my kid a pissant. I would say, yeah, that's how she can be at times. But
if
she has other good moments
as well. If I have a lot of requests for interviews and I don't really feel like doing them and I grudgingly accept and someone gives me a way out, yeah, I'm going to say sorry.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what Brady did.
And I don't know what the context was either. I think if someone called my son something like that, I'd be done.
Okay. What other Super Bowl prototype?
I would have to see what they were talking about first, because I may agree. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Bob, you of all people, you have the tough love parenting that produced three beautiful, self-sufficient, go-getter daughters.
My daughters are, I tell them all the time.
They're dudes with curls.
I always tell them the depth chart's always changing. Right now, you're at three. You got to work your way back up. That one over there, she's number one. That was number one on my depth chart right now.
I'd be out.
I bet a therapist, Bob, would say, yeah, Robert, we don't really want to rank the children.
Oh, I'm sure they would have advised me not to moo at them when they were getting food out of the pantry, too, while they're in high school. Something I always used to do to them when they'd be standing there looking at the Cheez-Its or the Chips Ahoy. Yeah, that's what I do. And then they go, and they'd look at me. I go, yeah, your future husband will thank me, is all I used to say. Or you could eat that, and in 10 years, when it's Friday night, and you're 300 pounds, and you're home with me and your mother, you can say, Daddy, how come no one ever calls?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I used to go through this. They'll verify it.
That's awesome. When are you writing that parenting book? Because I'm buying it. It's a little bit late for me because my kids are almost out of the house now.
Yeah.
We've done the best we can. So, all right, just to close on this, I know this is going to potentially be divisive for those. This is going to be politics. Can we talk politics for just a second or something that is political?
You like sports? Not a sports fan?
Not a sports fan?
Not a sports fan, huh?
This is a sports podcast. I'm going to tie it into sports in a way that I think it's sports-ish. And I'm going to try to be as non-judgmental and as nonpartisan. That's what I'm thinking. try to make it nonpartisan, okay? Did you see, I'm sure you saw this, Brian, and probably you too, Bob, Hillary Clinton agreeing to do a star turn on the Grammys, reading a section of the Trump book, The Fire and the Fury.
I read about it, and I heard a clip on a radio station, but I didn't see it.
Okay. So here you have the loser of the last presidential election agreeing to go on the Grammys and reveal herself.
A celebration of music.
Right. Right.
She's a Grammy winner.
Mm.
Spoken word.
Yeah.
For what? It Takes a Village?
Her book, yeah.
Oh, wow.
A while back.
So here she is. She and it was well done from just a execution standpoint. They were auditioning people to read the book for the audio book, and they're trying people out, and they're like, well, let's try one more. And her face is behind the book, and she starts reading, and then she slowly drops the book, and everyone rapturously applauds, and she smiles broadly. Okay. Well executed. Here's my question.
With
this is
balloon head of hers. Never mind. Anyway,
here's the question I have from a sports standpoint. If you are Team Donkey and your coach just fucked up the most unfuckable election of all time, that is causing disastrous in your mind, it's causing a disaster of policies being undone and Obama's legacy being undone as well. And she was the one that fucked it up by her decisions and by the fact that she sucked as a candidate and that she didn't go to Wisconsin to shore up what might have been a weak spot and made excuses left and right. Well, it was this, it was that, it was the Russians. If you are a Team Donkey member, wouldn't you seethe with anger that she would even agree to that?
Nobody on Team Donkey thinks that is what happened. No one on Team Donkey is really putting the blame on Hillary. It was the Russians. It was James Comey. It was all of her bad advisors. She didn't even understand that she was fucking it up.
So, in other words, you don't think there's any Democrats, and maybe we'll hear from some that email the podcast here, any Democrats that see it and go, yeah, I was fucking pissed. Like, this is of no use to us now. She fucked up the election, and I don't want to see her making ha-has about some fanfic book that is, you know, just to appease the Trump haters out there. This is bullshit. I'm seethingly mad. Because here's how I thought about it, Brian. If it was reversed and there was a Republican who fucked up an unfuckable election, and he was on a TV show reading books like that, I'd be mad. I'd be very mad. I'd be like, get that guy out of here. He's a loser.
There might be rank-and-file Democrats. There might be some people that think that, but you're not going to see him on TV. You're not going to be on CNN or MSNBC.
So what percentage of the people who voted for Hillary, roughly
were mad
speaking,
at that Grammy bit?
Yeah.
Oh, single digits.
Really?
Sure.
Well, that, to me, is sad because politics is about winning elections. It should be, right? You can't govern if you don't win elections, and elections have consequences. And this was a layup election that she blew it. And I'm thinking, man, you should be mad at her. You should be like, just go away. She's also not going away. Remember right after the election, they said, oh, she'll probably just quietly retire and work on her memoirs. Oh, no. She's still every bit as much out there.
Well, she took a walk in the woods that day, remember?
That's right, and took a selfie with a hiker who recognized her.
A stranger who came across her path that day.
Right.
Yeah. Hello, stranger.
Who had been vetted from 100 possible strangers who just fit the right demographic profile.
And the stranger said, aren't you former presidential candidate Hillary Clinton?
Yes, I am. I didn't recognize you without your pantsuit. What are you doing here in the woods?
I'm just Hillary.
John Kerry said he might take a run at 2020 again.
But Clinton's not going away because being Hillary Clinton is still the best job she's ever had, and she's not dead yet. So why would you stop being Hillary Clinton?
How much have you seen Mitt Romney since he lost the presidential election?
Not much.
Other than the health news that I
popped up. How much you see Bob Dole after he lost his run?
That's right. Not much. And if Bob Dole...
some other guys who...
McCain.
John McCain's still around.
Yeah. If Bob Dole were to read that... Now, it's different because Bob Dole never had a chance. Bob Dole was the Washington Generals against the Globetrotters that year. Am I right about that election?
It was his turn.
Right. It was his turn. It was like next up on the schedule.
It's like the batting cage. Next kid with a quarter.
Which is kind of what Hillary was going with the last go around. Yeah. It was her turn. It was her turn. Damn it.
Well, it was her turn, but
she sat. She took a back seat, and she was a team player, and she didn't get the backing.
I put up with the women. Yeah. I put up with the cutting in line by the Obamas.
She swallowed her rising stomach acid time after time.
I took that Secretary of State job that we all know was beneath me. It's my turn.
Get out of the way.
Well, if Romney had been in a dominant position against a very nutbag, very weak candidate, like let's say it was Romney up 15 points on Bernie Sanders with a month to go in the election, and he fucked it up. I know this. As Team Elephant, I wouldn't want him reading books on any Grammy shows.
Different mindset. Those two brains are different things going on, Steve.
Really?
Yeah.
Why should they be? It's all about winning elections, right? It's all about holding the candidates who don't win elections accountable.
One side is driven by feelings while the other is not.
Okay. Well, anyway, for those of you that are big Democrats listening now and big Hillary fans, I hope you enjoyed the laugh. It was a well-executed laugh.
They loved it.
Even though the reaction from the crowd,
even though ratings for the Grammys were low.
Low. You know why? Because so many issues, social issues. Kesha singing her song about, I hope you're praying. Whether or not she's strong and worthy and this is a big issue. At the end of the day, what do we want, Bob? The music.
Yeah.
Just sing.
There's a fatigue factor that goes along with
it. Right.
Yeah.
Even for the most worthy causes that are not political, that are not necessarily your side, my side, at some point there's fatigue of, Jesus, do you have a song to show us?
I have been to shows, Don Henley particularly, where he started to get preachy on stage about whatever.
And
I have screamed as loud as I could, shut up and sing.
At Don Henley.
Yep, as loud as I could.
The leader of your favorite rock band of all time.
Yep, I know your opinions, Don. I know what they are. You've been very clear on those over the years.
Wow.
I didn't come for this. I came for you to sing Last Worthless Evening. Start singing!
Don't make this my last worthless evening. Sing! Wow, that's bold. I like that, though. Did anyone join you?
No, I seem to be kind of a lone voice.
Okay, were you drunk?
There are a lot of people groaning around me like, oh, here we go. Yeah.
Ooh, here we go.
Right, it's kind of one of those, yeah.
Ooh,
here we go.
Oh, boy, someone's mad about Don Henley's issues.
He's not alone. You get it from Bono. You get it from everybody. They've all got, you know, they've got you there. They got your money. Now you're going to listen for a minute.
Yeah.
Or you could go get a beer, or you could go to the bathroom.
Where do you plan to watch the Super Bowl? You need to get on record, both you guys. I need you to pick the game, pick the score. Give me the MVP and a small footnote of something interesting that'll happen in the game. Bob, you start. Who's going to win the Super Bowl, and what is the score?
Patriots.
With that. Score?
28-17.
All right. MVP?
Boy, that's a tough one because nobody saw it coming. Last year, was it White last year?
No, it was Brady.
Was it Brady?
Yeah. The only time Brady did not win Super Bowl MVP was when Deion Branch won it in the Eagles Patriots Super Bowl in 04.
Well, nobody
Branch
on the Patriots.
Branch caught like a million passes that day.
Nobody on the Patriots defense is going to win it.
What if there's a strip sack in overtime?
Brady?
Okay.
Brady.
Yeah. So Brady's the MVP. Anything else notable in the game?
Janet Jackson's breast will be exposed again at halftime.
Really?
Yes.
Breast or nipple?
Yeah.
Because there's a
both
difference.
Both jugs this time.
Breast or nipple? Because side boob is acceptable. A certain amount of side boob.
Nipple. Nipple okay. again.
All right, Brian, score. And who's going to win?
35-24. Patriots. Brady, MVP. Moment to remember. Roger Goodell falls down some steps.
Oh, my God. How great would that be?
A flight or just a couple?
Some. I don't know.
Okay.
I'd love for him to be pushed down a whole section of stands.
Robert Kraft shoves him down the stairs after they win. Right.
Yeah. Take that, nerdlinger. With him being unhurt, of course, we would never want the commissioner to have a hair on his head.
No.
Hurt whatsoever. But it'd be funny if he just looked stupid having to gather himself up after, whoa, what the hell was that there? I look pretty stupid.
Shane, get me off this crazy thing.
And are you
stairs, Roger.
And are you going to any Super Bowl parties? Planning?
No,
no, okay. Staying at home.
Okay.
No, it's too late. I got to go to bed. I'll watch the second half
home
in bed.
Couch, right. TV, probably Taco Bell.
All right, if you need a trinket from Minneapolis, let me know, okay? And I'll promptly forget it, but just let me know.
I don't need no nothing from Minneapolis.
Okay, well, we'll see about that.
See,
all
if they,
right.
If they have a second place ring for all the Super Bowls that they went to, I'd like one of those.
Would you like a small vial of Eagles tears if I can collect them safely from Eagle fans as they lose again? No? Okay, we'll see about that.
They're going to have to put their head in some sort of trap or vice to get those tears.
If they're passed out from being drunk on the sidewalk, I might be able to get a little vial under there. Ooh, here we go. Some Eagles tears. All right, boys, thanks for the time, as always, and we'll see you next time. Bob and Brian World, go subscribe, right? BobandBrianWorld.com, correct?
We update it daily.
I love it. Beautiful. Thanks for your time, fellas. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Let's end with this today. At the Super Bowl, there's always stories that are just tiny, little, inconsequential stories that are sometimes the funniest and most interesting of stories once you start digging into them. And I would say that this one falls in that category. Headline in the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Ike's Food and Cocktails pulls Super Bowl menu. And I'm instantly thinking, because the NFL said you can't say Super Bowl? No. They pulled their Super Bowl menu after firestorm over $36 guacamole. What? Come on.
Good God.
This is going to be on an episode of Come On Man at some point. The internet says the story is calling it Guacgate 2018. Of course, everything has to have a gate on it. Ike's Food and Cocktails, Route 50, South 6th Street. Or excuse me. 50 South 6th Street. I'm not going there, I don't think. Debuted a special Super Bowl menu with some big ticket items. One of those Super Bowl items was guacamole and chips for $36. Well, you didn't say you got chips for the $36. You're right, I didn't. I said $36 guacamole. The chips, I'm sure, cost $3 per chip. I would love to know the cost per chip, the CPC on restaurant tortilla chips bought in bulk. That would be, if anyone knows that, any food suppliers, restaurateurs, do tell me. Give me the CPC on that. These $36 guac and chips menu item was not the only very expensive Super Bowl menu item. Beef skewers went for $72. Four sliders went for $38. And a 10-ounce filet went for $110. People quickly noticed and said, whoa, what the hell, Ike's? What's wrong with you? I go to Ike's all the time. Why are you jacking these prices? Ike's regular menu has the guacamole and chips priced at $12. That, of course, prompted the restaurant to quickly back out and walk down and disavow and say, In its own Facebook post, Ike's walked back their high-priced guac, calling it a mistake. But then the post disappeared. Of course, somebody was able to catch it with a screen grab. The post on Facebook said, "Dear Ike's Food and Cocktail friends, please accept our sincerest apologies. We made a mistake. Guacamole and chips is priced at $12, not $36, as stated on our Super Bowl menu. This is a misprint. Our service staff is communicating the correct price to all guests." Yeah, but shh, don't tell us sucker out-of-towners like me. Then we'll walk in, seems like a fair price, $36. What do I care? I'm expensing this anyway. The company will pay for it. Ike's has since said, well, okay, I told you that. They said it was a mistake. I don't blame them. Get what you can, if you're going to hoodwink some suckers, some out-of-towners like me and others that are not paying for our food and bev, then I say go for it. That this even became a story, though, is something that's kind of funny. Because, of course, the headline says, here's the word, firestorm. I doubt there was really a firestorm. I think there's a few people on Twitter going, hey, what the fuck, Ike's? You're jacking people on this. This is outrageous. That's not a firestorm. Six tweets and a Facebook post is not a firestorm. There better be people picketing outside Ike's, throwing things through the window, not that I advocate that, for it to actually be a firestorm. But I'm glad that reasonable guacamole prices have come back to Minneapolis. Thank you for making this Humble's Abecast a part of your podcast diet. Of course, please subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and wherever you download your podcast. Tell 2, 5, 11 friends. Help me make this thing grow and grow. You can email me at zabe@yahoo.com. Follow me on Twitter at zabe. We love topic suggestions, factual corrections, technical feedback, attaboys, and go to hells. They're all welcome. Now get off your phone. Go live your life. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.